Chazal tell us, in every generation in which the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt, at this the Beis HaMikdash has once again been destroyed. So therefore, it's incumbent upon us to ask the question which the Torah itself asked. Amasa Hashem kacha la'aretz hazot, ma'achari ha'af ha'gadol hazeh. What is the reason for this anger? What's the reason for the destruction? If in every generation we're held responsible that the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt as if we destroyed it, so we need to understand what was the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What are the issues that we need to work on? And that's the avoda of the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks, obviously avoda the whole year, but particularly in the 3 weeks, to emphasize what the issue was, what was the core that was the problem, in order to be able to rectify it. And we know that nothing is accidental. Pasuk in Eicha, which says, Ki lo inam libo vayaga b'nei ish, mipi elyon lo teitzei haraot vahatov. Ma yitonein adam chai, gever chata'av, nach besad rachenu v'nakoro v'nashuva ad Hashem. What can we complain? It's not coming from God. The onus is on us. Nach besad rachenu. We have to search. We have to do this work in order to be able to understand what we did wrong, why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we're all familiar with the Gemara and Yuma and the arrow in source number 3, where the Gemara tells us that Mikdash Rishon mipnei Macharev, the first base of Mikdash, why was it destroyed? It had 3 major sins, the Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichus Damim, the 3 cardinal sins. Have a Mikdash Sheni, but the second Beis HaMikdash, Shayu Oskim b'Torah u'b'mitzvos. They were involved in learning Torah, kololim everywhere. U'b'gemilus chafsotim, they gemachs every block. Mipnei ma'acharev, why was it destroyed? Mipnei shahaysa bo sinas china. To teach you, they had baseless hatred. L'lamdecha, says the Gemara, shishkula sinas china. We find that baseless hatred is equal. It's compared to, has the same weight as the 3 major sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichus Damim, which is fascinating, that a sin, says Rav Reis in Pamei Moed at the end of 3, a sin, on the nature of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, between man and fellow man, not even between man and God, carries such weight on it that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was because of this. So the obvious question we have to ask when we understand it, when we look at this, is if there's Torah, there's Gemilus Chesed, that how could be at the same time there's an idea of Sinas Chinam? Well, how do I understand this? So he explains that the first base of Mikdash, they had the innards, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, was on the right track. And the second base of Mikdash, the inside was corrupt. On the outside, they're doing everything beautiful, right? Learning Torah, Gemach. But their inside was corrupt, which means that Masha Yachaser Haya Lev Patuach in the double underline in 5, Sheyachush B'Masha Chaser Lezula V'Yer Agish L'Tovato. We're going to get back to this point where it's Hashem at the end. They weren't sensitive enough to the needs of others. Yes, they have all of these chesed and all of these organizations. But that's like on the technical, on the global level. In the small interactions, one person with another, and the small things that both people don't pay attention to, it's like the ideas of slamming the door in somebody's face. Oh, do I have to really hold the door for somebody? Like in those small areas of sensitivity, and slamming the door is obviously a catchphrase for a lot of things. That level of sensitivity, that was missing. Others explain that there was a sense of gaiva. Like, I have a gemach, and you want to open up the same gemach down the street? I'm doing hachnasas kala. You also want to do hachnasas kala? A chutzpah. It's mine. So even in their chesed, there was a corruption of really l'shem shamayim. So it would seem that although on the outer they're learning Torah and doing chesed, the core that we're still in galus today is because of sinas china, baseless hatred. And we take a look at our own society, our own culture, we see that we haven't moved too far from the times of Bayis Sheni, right? Younger light are learning in Kololim, Beis Yaakovs, and yeshivas abound. We have the Chesed Hashem, thousands upon thousands learning Torah. Chesed abound. Kla Yisrael, Arachmanim, Vaishanim, Gomle, Chasadim. We're there to help each other in every single situation. Take a look at this latest tragedy in Miami. Kla Yisrael is there, ready, with open hands to give whatever we can need to give in order to support the people that have lost, lo aleinu, their homes, people's everything. You know, to try to find the people of Chule. So why are we still in Gavos? And the answer is, there is something called Tzinas Chinam that still is plaguing us. So the question I'd like to try to explore today is, how do we define Tzinas Chinam? Where does Tzinas Chinam come from? Like, if I want to work on Tzinas Chinam, so I have to be able to dissect it. I have to be able to get to the roots of what's driving a person to Tzinas Chinam. No one wakes up one day and says, gee, I think it's a good idea to hate other people. I think that I can be able to act in other people in a crude way for no reason. Obviously, there has to be something deeper, right? The Tzinas Chinam is like the plant on top of the ground. But what are the roots? What are the seeds that are planted that lead to Tzinas Chinam? So that's what I'd like to try to explore today. Obviously, there's a lot to say. And after this exploration, the second part of this year is going to be suggesting two very hands-on things that we could work on and take on during the 3 weeks. So the truth is that this Tzinas Chinam, this baseless hatred, is predated to an earlier event in the Jewish calendar year. And this is a piece that's based on the Klei Yakar that the Sefer Toras Chesed Rav Shaul Chanan brings down. And he says, when you take a look at the first pasuk in Sefer Devarim, it talks about the sins that Klai Yisrael did in a number of places. And one of the places that's mentioned, and the Klei Yakar is different than Rashi, is Ben Paran Uven Tofel, between Paran and Tofel. So the Ben Uben, between and between, is really the predecessor to the idea of Ben Hamitzarim, between the narrow strait, which we refer to as the 3 weeks. The Paran and Tofel are the bookends of these 3 weeks. Paran is obviously the Chet HaMeraglim. They were sent from Paran. Tofel means, literally, it means nothingness. Nothingness is Neveyayech Chazulach Shav V'Tofel. Your Neveyayech Sheker, your false prophets, prophesied for you nothingness and Tofel. Tofel is the idea of Avodah Zarah. It's nothingness. So Ben Paran Ben Tofel, the bookends are the Chet HaEgel, which is a sin of Avodah Zarah, which paralleled the first Bayis Rishon, the first Bayis Hamikdash, which was destroyed. One of those sins was Avodah Zarah. Uven Paran, which is the second Bayis Hamikdash, which is destroyed because of the Chet HaMeraglim. And the sin of the Chet HaMeraglim and the sin of the Bayis Sheni, of the second Bayis Hamikdash, are one and the same. Notes Klei Yakar, what is this sin? The sin is Tzinas Chinam. The sin is baseless hatred. Ah, where do you see baseless hatred by Chet HaMeraglim? Chet HaMeraglim was, they spoke bad about Eretz Israel. Where do you see hatred? So we know that in Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Dvarim, it says specifically, B'sinat Hashem otanu tzianu me'Eretz Yisrael. With the hatred of Hashem, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So just like there was hatred then, there was hatred further on. Ah, how could Klai Yisrael feel that Hashem hated them? B'sinas Hashem otanu. Hashem gave them the man, the be'er. They gave them these wonderful things. Where is the hatred found there? Ela adrab on the arrow and eight. Heim ela shayu merumim v'erkishu sina b'libam. V'adarim kashim elom ram. Avam ufurashim b'yakud shimoni b'rashi. Hashem ayahu hev etchem, aval tem sonim oto, Hashem loved you, but you hated him. Ki ukefi sheim chashu klapav, kach gam chashvu shu markish klapayim. Since they hated Hashem, they felt that Hashem hated them. Not that Hashem hated them, but that's how they felt, right? Everything's a mirror. V'kevan shirgishu sina kol achad klapei chavaro. Where did this hatred toward Hashem come from? Listen closely. Because there was this sina, this hatred, one person to another. Because they were so full of hatred, one to another, they felt that Hashem as well hated them, and hence the Chena Meraglim is really based on Srinas Chinam. So my friends, let's try to understand this. There was already, at the time of the hate of the sin of the Meraglim, this understanding, based on the Mefarshim, that there was some type of hatred that was found one person to another, and this hatred one person to another led them to feeling that Hashem hated them, and if Hashem hated them, then therefore it wasn't surprising that Hashem wanted to bring them to a land and just have them killed. So really, the first base of Hamikdash is connected to Chet HaEgel, which is the sin of Avodah Zarah, and the second Beis Hamikdash is connected to Sinas Chinam, which is a sin of Chet HaMeraglim. Granted, that still doesn't help me. What is the cause? Like, how does this happen? How do people feel hatred one for another? What's going on here? We still are at the plant level and not beneath the surface. So, source 9. Well, Lord, Varim Hamurim Nitan Lavin, Shemevim שמבין כל שבעת התוכחות שהוכיחם ברמז, העריך משה רבינו דווקא בחטא המרגלים. It's interesting that of all these sins that he mentions by hinting, the one that Moshe Rabbeinu goes into the most depth in is the chet hamaraglim, because that sin is something that we're still suffering until today. That's the sinas chinam. And now, my friends, we have to understand, well, where does the sinas chinam come from? Let's move to source number 10. Mevei Rav Pinkus Zechersad V'Kadosh Lebracha Ta'omek Shal Musag Sinat Chinam. Rav Pinkus begins to unearth this for us, to start doing a little bit digging beneath the ground. And let's work on this, because this is something that we all have to do. This is the work that we all have to unearth within ourselves. He quotes the Chovos Levavos as well as the Ramban in the Negeret HaRambam, that the Shorish Midas Ha'anava, the most important Midah to have, is humility. Shalenu largish be'amedu b'tamim shekol adam v'adam tov yoter mitanu. And part of humility is to really believe that everyone has something in them that makes them better than us. This person may be smarter than me, this person may have different talents than me, this person may be a bigger bal chesed than me. I need to be able to train myself to be able to see what are the values that this person has, what are the midos, what are the traits that this person has that's better than me. Umevarim Rabbeinu Mechayev HaRamban Et HaYasod Shadam Tamid Tzarich Lechapeis Mashu Basheni Adif Alav. Always look for that something special in someone else and focus on that. Mishum Shashorah Shal Sinas Chinam Hi Ayin Ra'ah. What's one of the roots of Sinas Chinam is having a negative eye. To always see and to look for where is the weakness in somebody. And then to hate them for that. I can't believe they're so stingy. Ugh, the stinginess just bothers me so much. How could they act this way? And you hate them from that. And therefore, you'll see that the opinion of the Chafetz Chaim is that Sinas Chinam is one and the same, it's bundled together with Lashon Hara. Because what happens is, when you see something negative in somebody else, then immediately you want to share this great information. Oh my gosh, I saw how this person wasn't going to spend anything on. And then you want to tell it to somebody else. You know, I just had this now. Taping Erev Shabbos, I bought white flowers for Shabbos. My daughter calls me up and says, I love purple. I found these gorgeous purple flowers for Shabbos. Do you want them? So my initial reaction was, she said to me, did you buy flowers for Shabbos? I said, I bought already. She says, I said, why are you asking? I was thinking she's going to buy me a present. No, not so lucky. I found these gorgeous purple flowers. So I'm thinking to myself, well, I've already bought flowers. But you know what? It's Shabbos Kodesh. And the more flowers on Shabbos, the more beautiful Shabbos is. I said, buy them for me. I'll pay you back. Yeah, so, okay, another time we'll get a gift. Don't worry. Right? So, not that not buying flowers for Shabbos makes you stingy, But it's that mindset. Are you ready to spend money to beautify the Shabbos, to beautify? So you see somebody over and over again and says, oh, I'm not spending money on this. Why should I pay for a tutor for my child? You know, the school should take responsibility. You find some character trait and you see it in a person and it really bothers you. So you don't just keep it to yourself, because when you find something negative in somebody else, the fact that you probably have that same Mida, because that is what you see in others, as Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh tells us, is really a mirror of what you see in yourself. So the fact that I see somebody who's stingy is really because I'm stingy myself, but we're going to leave that parenthesis out for now. So I want to share with someone else, and I called my friend, and I said, can you believe what I just saw, or what I just heard, or what I got? And then, in fact, you know, I say to myself, it's a mitzvah that I tell this Lashon Hara that they should learn from them. You know, don't be like so-and-so who's stingy. Says the Chafetz Chaim, when we talk about, and you see this by the Chet HaMeraglim, we normally understand that the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spy, was Lashon Hara, they spoke deep at Haaretz. Says the Chafetz Chaim, where did that Lashon Hara come from? It came from looking negatively at the land. The land is Eretz Ochelot Yoshva, it eats its inhabitants, the land is A, B, and C. When they look negatively at the land, that was the Shoresh. Once they looked negatively at the land, they then shared it with others, and that led to Lashon Hara, which then is part and parcel of the Sinas Chinam, where Hashem hates us, and it's not worth going in, etc., etc. And he says this. He says, "B'sinat Hashem otanu mikan samach haShoresh l'sinat Chinam shaita b'bayit sheni." Really, the Sinas Chinam of Bayit Sheni was like in the earth, waiting to be sprouted, and the good soil for this, unfortunately, was a time of Bayit Sheni. However, it's really beginning now, and according to the Chafetz Chaim, this is the mindset. Sinas Chinam, this baseless hatred, doesn't start out of nowhere. It starts with an ayin ra. It starts with a negative eye. When I have a negative eye toward others, then I have a negative, then I want to share with others what I've heard, which leads to Lashon Hara, which then leads to this creating this society of hatred. It was hatred to the Lamb, and this negative viewing and looking at things in a negative way is just a reflection that this was the basis of the whole society. It wasn't a society that was looking for the goodness in others and the positivity in others. It was a society looking for this negativity, and hence this is the result. The result is Sinas Chinam. The result is Lashon Hara. So the first idea for today of what the root of Sinas Chinam is an Ayin Ra, and it's Lashon Hara, seeing negatively and speaking negatively. A little bit different is a Gra. The Vilna Gaon says no. The Shorash Shel Sinas Chinam, what is the roots in the ground, is a Choser Bitachon B'Hashem. Where does baseless hatred come from? Hatred toward God, hatred to others. It comes from a lack of faith. Umechadei Hagon Mivilna She'ikar Ikarim, the asterisk in 11, the Gra emphasizes that the major thing in life, he bitochom b'ashep, umemele mechadei she'etzod asum v'nara, she'adif mi she'boteach b'ashem v'over averos. Listen to this. It's wild. Better a person who has faith in Hashem, and at times it's over averos, mimish mechusar bitachon, then one who has no bitachon is involved in Torah and Gemilus Chasadim. Why? Because their Torah and Gemilus Chasadim is all about themselves. It's all about making a name for themselves. It's all about money. And it's going to ultimately wind up probably in hatred and in jealousy. And, you know, If we're honest with ourselves, you know, when somebody does something to another person, right, you have this situation. So your immediate response is anger. I had that this morning in the post office, and I'll tell you, I blew it. And I should have prepared this better this morning. I went to the post office to pay a Bituach Lumi overdue bill. Not that we got the first one, but we already have a 200 check out. Fine. So it was okay. So I went in and I said, I want to pay. They said, you can only pay in increments. You can't pay all at once. I said, that's fine. So then they said, are you the person who has a name on the card? I said, no. They said, well, only the person on the name of the card can pay. Why? Because they can pay because they can pay the whole amount. I said, great. So if you're not the name of the card, then you have to pay the whole amount. So I said, okay, I'm not the name of the card. I'll pay the whole amount because if I'm named the card, you can only pay in increments. But you can only pay in increments. But I'm not the name of the card. But okay, so I'll pay the whole thing even though I'm not the name of the card. No, you can only pay in increments. I mean, it was like, you know, going in circles. Like, how do you expect me to pay? Like, okay. So I lost it. I'm like, I'm ready to pay. So I'm not the name on the card. My husband's name on the card. Ichigo Kagufo. And I'm ready to pay the whole thing, not an increment. No, this is the... So my response should have been, instead of being frustrated, and I didn't get to pay, so we're just going to, you know, till I figure out how to pay, we're just going to, you know, add up. My response should have been, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. I needed a frustration this morning, Erev Shabbos. I needed to go into my house, and I needed something to go wrong. Thank God it was in payment. There's such good bureaucracy. Hodel Hashem. Bureaucracy is amazing because it's like an easy way to get Yisurim. Like, wow, I should be dancing. And, you know, Hodel Hashem for giving me this morning. If a person is a real Babi Tachon, I feel so grateful for giving this shiur. Now I feel such gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for putting me in this situation. Hodel Hashem. Then I realize that it's all coming from Hashem. It's not these postal workers. It's not the bureaucracy. It's not Bituach Lumi. It's not the rules. Hashem is the one who's deciding to do this. So instead of me being angry at bureaucracy and hating the government and hating the post office, I say, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are the one who wanted me to, who created such a bizarre system of this, you know, like it's a catch-22. You can't win. It's all from Hashem. And then if it's all from Hashem, I don't feel any sinna. I don't feel any hatred. If I cared, I am so happy. There could be so many things Lo Aleinu can go wrong. Thank God it was the post office. Wow, I feel so grateful, right? HaKol B'Gzeiros HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Matash Sonet Oto Adam Ein Chabotech Maspik B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you hate somebody, if you feel like somebody's undercutting you or someone's doing something to you, you know enough Bitachon and Hashem. It's not them. They are Dutch Shlichei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is why the Rav David Cohen wrote a very similar essay as Rav Hanan in Source 13. He says, Bitachon V'Yistapkus Heima Klalim L'Chol Amidos Tovos. When I have Bitachon and I am satisfied with what I have, this is for all the midos tofos. Vehim hefecha taiva vachemda. It's against desire. V'ikara koli bitachon. Everything is about bitachon. This is the bottom line. Where a person has to believe, as Chazon Ish, continuing in 14, v'ikara bitachon hu haimun she'ein mikra ba'olam. There is nothing by accident in the world. V'kol ha'naseh techen ha'shemesh ha'kol b'achraza mitoyi barach. Anything that happens in the world happens because Hashem wants it. And that's how we have to believe it. And we have to literally feel that Hashem is holding our hand at every step of the way. Just to share another story, which is really also purely incidental. I was in the store yesterday. Sunday is a fast. I wanted to buy grapes for Shabbos Kodesh. So I go to the store, and there are no grapes. But absolutely no grapes. So as I'm doing the rest of the shopping, I'm thinking to myself, and this is very late last night, I'm thinking to myself, okay, will I have time to go to another store and park and just to get my grapes? Is it worth it for Shabbos? I have the Avos Yisrael by me on Shabbos, and I like to serve them, you know, grapes, bring to Yerush Shemaim. And I'm having all these cheshbonos in my head, and I overhear somebody saying, Ein lecha navim, you don't have grapes? And the guy says, sure, I have grapes. And he brings out, like, a whole thing of just piles of fresh grapes. And I was very grateful, obviously, yeah? Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands, you know, you're doing the L'Shem Shemayim, you're doing L'Chot Shabbos Kodesh. I don't want to make you go to another store. You want grapes, I'll give you the grapes. You know, just ask for it. Just have it, right? And just be grateful. Just be happy. So this is how you have to really feel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, mamish, every step of the way. Now we have my friends, leaving my Erev Shabbos travails alone for now. So now we have two ideas. What are the roots of Sidas Chida. So one is the Chavt Chaim, that's an Ayin Ra, which leads to Lashon Hara, and one is the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, which says that it's about Emunah Bitachon. So which one is it? What are the roots under the ground that what do I need to work on in order to be able to overcome my Sidas Chidim? Should I focus in on Bitachon, or should I focus in on having a good eye? I should be careful about my Lashon Hara. So obviously the answer is, it's both. And going back to Torah's Chesed in 15, they're really one in the same. If I'm going to go down deep to the bottom of the roots, it's clearly about a lack of bitachon. That's the beginning and end. Sadiq b'emunato yichyeh, tzadik l'usvay zemuna. That's the whole essence of what Torah is about. However, umemela hatotzaahi sinas chinam v'loshen harashi debruzel zeh. As a result of not having bitachon, a person has an ayin ra and lashon hara, and all of the above lead to that plant called sinas chinam. Ki b'sha'ah shamru am Yisrael ben sinas Hashem otanu. When Am Yisrael said that Hashem took, put us in a situation out of hatred, it was a lack of bitachon. It was a lack of bitachon in the Meraglin. That was the bottom line. That lack of bitachon that Hashem can really bring them in, alo na'aleh, led them to see everything negatively and led them to speak lashon hara. Taking this a little bit deeper, when a person doesn't have bitachon in Hashem, mukhrashit le'adam et bitachono ba'atzmo bekaspo. So let's try to understand a little bit about what happens when you don't have bitachon and a little bit about lashon hara, and then let's tie it all together for our lives. What happens if a person doesn't have bitachon b'Hashem? So he says, if you don't have bitachon, what do you need to understand? Muchrach shitle adam et bitachono ba'atzmo bekaspo. Understand that if you don't have bitachon, what you're really dealing with is investing in yourself. Well, I can't rely on Hashem, so the only one I can rely on is myself, my money. And then obviously, if I'm going to have some altercation or some disagreement with my friend, it's going to lead to hatred. Why? Because the world revolves around me. And if this isn't going according to my plans and the way I want it, so I'm upset at this person. Again, if the world is focused around self, so then, and God is out of the picture, so anyone who comes into my space, I'm going to have a problem with because they don't fit into my box and my world. And he says, this isn't like an interesting way, like there are two ways to view life. There's one way where a person, I'm in the Aaron 16, Adam Shavotech, Hashem, Bavinu Shema Shamayim, you recognize that everything comes from Hashem, and you look at everybody in a beautiful eye, and you're able to realize that no one's there to harm you, and Chaveirim Kol Yisrael, and Torah, and Hashem, and we're all one, and everything's beautiful. And I love everybody. The second way is that a person doesn't believe in Hashem, and therefore everything is about themselves and about their own wisdom and about their own prowess. And then in that situation, you're always going to be angry with others. So therefore, my friends, we have to understand that if we want to work on ourselves, we have to be able to understand that Hashem is the core of our lives. And when I understand that Hashem is the core of my life, then my whole view of the world is a view around we're all God's children and I'm here to help everybody. It like shifts my whole vantage point. When you realize that Hashem is in charge and everything comes from Hashem, then I develop an ayin tova, a good eye, and I develop sensitivity to those around me. It's not that the whole world is in competition with me, but rather the whole world is working with me to be able to serve Hashem. And with this, he explains in number in 18 that famous story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, where the wrong person was invited to the party, and he said, just don't throw me out, and I'll pay for my portion, I'll pay for half the party, I'll pay for the whole party. And they threw him out, and he was embarrassed, and he went to the Roman Emperor, and the Jews don't like you, and bring a sacrifice, and he put a mum, he put a blemish in it, and they didn't sacrifice it, and that ultimately led to the Churban. What were the people thinking at that time? Like, here they see a guy who's pleading to be allowed into this party and on deaf ears. How come nobody stood up and said, you know, just let him in, it's not such a big deal? And the answer is, because when a world is about I, and some more I, there is no room to think about somebody else. This is the key, my friends. When there's a world where it's a God-centered world, so then we're all in this together. When it's an egocentric world, I can't see anyone beyond myself. You're not even able to be sensitive to somebody else. And you could easily hear them saying, and this is a mentality of people who are so wrapped up in self. You know, he put himself into the situation. He wasn't invited. Just leave. Like, why should I even stand up for him? The smart thing to do was just to get out of here. This is the mindset of somebody who's just thinking about themselves. And it's not something, siman shela af echad lo echpat. Nobody cares about anybody else. And we have to ask ourselves, and this is the first question that has to be a three-week question. Is my life about what's good for me? What's comfortable for me? Is my life about centered around me, me, and me? Does it fit into my life and what's good for me? Or am I able to step out of my life and be a theocentric world where what's good for Kvod Shamayim? What's good for the world? What's good for Am Yisrael? What's good for my brothers? So this is the first nikuda. Sinas chinam, the core is about bitachon. The more you bring Hashem into the picture, the more you have anivus, you have humility, where you step out of the picture, the more you're going to be able to embrace others. The more you're going to be able to see the needs of others, and the less baseless hatred you're going to have. Why should I hate anybody? Everything that happens, it's that grape story. Hashem will give you all of those grapes if you're determined, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines that you should have the grapes. And if not, you can go to four stores and there'll be no grapes. Right? So there's no reason for sour grapes. This is the reality. If Hashem is in the center of your life, then we're able to have that ability to deal with others. So that's idea number one. The root of Sinas Chinam is Bitachon, and we have to work on that. The second root, or the second offshoot of Sinas Chinam is Lashon Hara. It's an Ayin Ra. It's looking at others from a negative way, and then feeling free to speak about others. And this, says the Chafetz Chaim, is really what brought the Churban. What brought the Churban is the fact that there was Lashon Hara among the people. Now, let's talk about a little bit about the roots in the Churban of Lashon Hara. Let's see this a little bit further, that Lashon Hara was really the cause of the Churban of Bayis Sheni and what this is about. So, the Sichat Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Roth, Magid Shirim B'nei Brak, Shkiach B'nei Brak, points out that the Gemara tells us that 40 years before the Churban, before the destruction, there were certain signs that you could tell the Churban was coming, destruction was coming. The white string that was from in the Beit Hamikdash on Yom Kippur, the red string that was tied part to the Shtir Lazaza and part in the Beit Hamikdash usually turned white. It stopped turning white when they did the raffle of which hand would be to Hashem, was always in the right hand. It no longer was in the right hand. The Ner Maravi, the Western candle that was always lit, stopped being lit. There were certain signs that you saw, you know what, Churban's coming. We spoke about this a few years ago in a three-week shiur. One of the signs was V'hayu in 31, 21, Deltot Eichal Niftachot Malehem. the doors of the Beit Hamikdash open by themselves. So the others I get, the red string didn't turn white, and it didn't turn in your right hand, and the near my Ravi didn't light. I get it. Those are bad signs. But what is the sign of the doors open by themselves? So on the simplistic level, it means that the nations will be free to come in. Nothing's going to stop them. It's just open by itself. On a deeper level, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to the doors, Yodeani b'chashit sofcha 22 atile charev, I know you're going to be destroyed. This was the nevuah, that this was going to happen. Zechariah gave the nevuah, p'tach levanon dlatecha v'tochal ish bazarecha. The doors of Levanon, the Beit Hamikdash, will be open, and they're going to be consumed by fire, these cedar trees. And that's a simple interpretation. However, on a deeper level, Muvuar b'Sfarim HaKadoshim, that there was something deeper going on here. And that was the doors were giving us a message. Yeah, it means enemies are going to come in. The deeper message was the reason why the enemies are going to come in is because the doors are open. What are the doors referring to? The lips, the doors of our mouth. The Gra notes, Ki apek kodesh kadoshim, the mouth is like the Holy of Holies. And if the mouth opens by itself, and there's nothing that's guarding it, and nothing holding it back, that Lashon Hara is going to lead to Sinas Chinam. Once you just say anything goes, you can say whatever you want to whoever you want about whatever you want, that is the downward slide to Sinas Chinam. So yes, lack of bitachon is going to enter into Sinas Chinam. Everyone's invading my space. The other slippery slope to Sinas Chinam is when you don't have control over your mouth. The doors of the Beit Hamikdash are opening by themselves. You know, it's interesting, the pasuk that says, Shomer Piv Ulishono. Shomer Piv, in the asterisk in 22, a person has to watch what comes into their mouth. Ulishono, you have to watch what comes out of your mouth, Shomer Mitzarat Nafsho, and that's what's going to protect a person. Vim Piv Shel Adam Nivtach Levad Chalila, if your mouth opens by itself, and any type of tuma is able to come in and out, the Shechina will then leave. And that was the power of the Beit Hamikdash. The doors were screaming to us. You want me to stay closed? You want the Beit Hamikdash to be protected? Then keep your doors closed. Keep the Lashon Hara. Keep your mouth shut. Know what to speak and what not to speak. It's very fascinating. In Parsha Ki Tavo, which describes the Churban of the second Beit Hamikdash, the pasuk says, Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Merachok, I will bring upon you a nation from afar, Mikseh Haaretz, from the ends of the earth, Kasher Yid'en Nesher Goy Asher Lo Tishma Lashono, a nation that you won't be able to recognize its language. So the first Beit Hamikdash we know was destroyed by Bavel, which was Aramaic, was very similar to Hebrew. The second Beit Hamikdash, destroyed by the Romans, had a whole different language. But it's more than that. Sage 25, Chazal, tell us that there's a Mida, Keneged Mida here. You use your speech in a distant way. You use your speech, which means that your speech had the ability to hurt other people from far away, right? A sword, a gun, you need to be in close distance. The words we can't, that Rav Pliskin in Sefer Antilim 26, the words we say can be precious, it can do much good, but just as a person who owns a dangerous weapon needs to guard it to prevent accidental harm and damage, so too we need to watch what we say. A person can say something here, we see this in today's day and age, and speaking Lashon Hara is not just speaking, it's also texting. You can text something to somebody, you can say something to somebody, and within seconds, a person loses a job, a person loses a shidduch, a person is, the whole life is ruined. This is what it means that a goy ba merachok, a nation's coming from afar. The nation coming from afar is because you have hurt people, you have killed people from afar, you have harmed others distance away, So measure for measure, you are going to be punished. Distance from a country a distance away, and it's a country whose language you do not know, so you can't implore them, you can't beg them. They don't understand a word of what you say, which just makes the punishment that much more severe. But it goes even deeper than that, my friends. 27 through 29. How do we say so clearly that Baisheni, the root, was speech? That Baisheni was about not being careful what they said, and that's like just cutthroating one person and another. And again, we see it so clearly going back to that story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So yes, on the first level, when you don't have bitachon and the world revolves around you, you have two options. God's the center of the world or you're the center of the world. When you make yourself the center of the world, you don't have that sensitivity to others. How can I? I'm just too involved in self. And therefore, they threw him out. Going back to the story of Bar Kamsa and Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, what does he do after he gets thrown out? He goes to the Roman emperor. They're not, don't believe in you. They're bring a sacrifice and you'll see. Where was the mum? Where was the blemish that they put on the animal? That's right, on the lip. Of all places you could put a blemish in so many places, and for a goy, it would be perfectly mutter to bring that korban. It's not a mum, it's not like broken limb or something. But for a Jew, that is a mum. My friends, it's not by accident that it was on the lip. Because what it's teaching us is the lips were the problem. The lips is where we have to be careful. And my friends, as he points out in Source 30, Ein lahem le'umos ha'olam emailas Yisrael v'kedushas Yisrael, that the world doesn't have the same kedusha of speech as Klal Yisrael do. Because speech is really connected to the neshama, the chelek eloka mimal. What you think is expressed through your speech, that level of the higher soul of a Jew comes out through our speech. Lanu yesh neshama elokit in the Arun 30, we have a spiritual, godly soul. Domim lemalachei hasharis, we're similar to the angels. That's where our speech comes from. And that's why, by a Jew, speech takes on a whole different dimension. That's why the laws of Lashon Hara, you know, you tell goyim about gossip and this and that, and they look at you like, huh? Yes, because our speech isn't just regular speech. As the Rabbi Solomon, with hearts full of faith, a person can only participate in the higher world, writes the Chinuch, through his speech. This is the most distinguished part of the human being, is what distinguishes him as a person in the verse. And the Lord breathes into a person a nefesh chaya, a living spirit, a targum, a ruach, mamalala. All the other parts are inanimate, are in terms of useless vessel compared to a person's speech. So my friends, we can now appreciate when the Jews abuse their speech, when the doors open and close by themselves, when there is that pigam on the upper lip, there's that blemish, it's clearly teaching us that what was the issue in Baisheni. Yes, the Gemara says it's Sinas Chinam, but what was the root of Sinas Chinam? What do we have to work on? Looking at others negatively, and then that leads me, and that's what Lashon Hara is. I got to tell you about this person, right? And I want to feel good because I'm putting someone else down. And that's then going to lead to hatred. It's going to lead, and for nothing. Why am I doing this? There's no reason to do this. This is the challenge. And really, my friends, before we get to the world of the practical, it's Hainu Hach, as the Sefer Cholona Teva from Noah Chafetz 32. Quotes the Medrash Rabbah, Amar Rav Asi, Ein Adam Omer Lashon Hara, a person will only come to speak Lashon Hara, Achav Kofer B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, only when you deny Hashem. And as Rabbeinu Yonah points out here, Al-Kein Nechshav HaMasaper Lashon Hara Kilu Kofer B'Ikar, someone who speaks Lashon Hara as if it's denying Hashem. Why? Lefi Shomer Bilvavo, Ki Sfatav Virshuto, U'Mipzei She'ein Ba'Maseh, V'Chi Hu HaShalit HaLushano, V'Gamar B'Da'ato. When a person says, I can say whatever I want, and I can do whatever I want, and it's my mouth, and you can't tell me what to say and what to do, you're a kofer. You don't believe in God. It's not your mouth. It was given to you by God to use with regulations and restrictions. Use it well. A person who says, you can't tell me what to say. I can say whatever I want. That mindset is about feeling, again, like you're in control. It's all about you. Svatenu itanu, mi adoman, pasukadilam. The lips are ours. Who's going to be a master over us? So really, my friends, it's really one big package. When a person sees themselves as they're in control, then they move Hashem out of the picture. Once they see themselves in control, then they can look at anyone in any way they feel like it, because after all, they're in control, and they can speak negatively, and all of this is leading to sinna, leading to hatred. So my friends, what we've seen in part one of this year is that when the Gemara tells us we have to try to find what the roots are, any generation makes of English is rebuilt as if it's destroyed. So the Gemara tells us they had Torah, they had Milz Chasadim. What were they missing? They're missing Ava Shechinah. They're missing real love. They had Sinas Shechinah. Where did the Sinas Shechinah come from? Well, it really started by the Meraglim. The same Tufa, the same time, the same sin. The Meraglim, Kibbutz Sinas Hashem Otano. Hashem hates us. Where does that Sinah come from? Well, there's two things. Chavetz Chaim, it comes from a negative eye, Lashon Hara. Saw the land in a negative light, and therefore said negative things. The Gra, lack of Bitachon. We can't do it. It's too hard for us. There are giants there. If you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the center of the picture, then that's going to lead that other people are getting in your way, and that's going to lead to Sinas Chinam. And really, both of these aspects is what we need to work on. We need to work on Bitachon, and we need to work on our Shmiras HaLashem. We need to work on our speech in order to be able to counter these forces. So now, let's try to work into the world of the practical. We'll introduce the world of the practical by Rav Wolbe on Chumash 33. An astounding Chazal puts the importance of good midos into perspective. In the days of David and Melech, even small children were so proficient in Torah, they were able to explain each law of the Torah in 98 different ways. Despite the generation's greatness in Torah, they waged war against their enemy, they suffered losses in battle, because they spoke Lashon Hara. In contrast, the entire generation of King Ahav worshipped idols, but since they refrained from speaking Lashon Hara, they did not fall. What's going on here? The answer is, with regard to spiritual growth, nothing is automatic. A person who does not make a conscious effort to work on himself in a particular area will remain deficient in that area. It's evident from Chazal that deficiency in midos is so significant that it overrides other mitzvahs and tips the scales against the Jewish people. And again, he brings this Gemara that they times of Beis Hamikdash, Tekken Beis Hamikdash, they learned Torah, they did mitzvahs, they acted charitably. But they were guilty of Sinas Chinam. All the mitzvahs they did, double squiggly, in 33, did not compensate for their shortcomings, nor prevent the calamity that bad midos precipitate. This brings us to realization that we have no choice but to consciously invest effort in developing good midos. Now, here's my suggestion for today. Obviously, whatever we can do in our bitacha, whatever we can do in a Lashon Hara, wow. Having said that, if we can just perhaps narrow it down to something very small, very doable, I'd like to share two ideas. One is in the realm of the bitachon, and the second in the realm of the speech. In the realm of the bitachon, source 34, Sichot Yitzchak, Rav Tzvi Meir Silverberg, Yadu l'kulanu, Shetikon HaShalom B'yos HaMashiach Telu B'Avas Chinam. How do we bring Mashiach? With tremendous love. Hatikon Shebechiyah Chinam. It's overshadowing that. And how do we do this? So he says, where do you see Avas Yisrael? If you want to work on love of Jews, so the paradigm is Moshe Rabbeinu, Gol, Rishon, Gol, Achron. He's our first Redeemer. Megaleh lanu, Shavoda, Rishon, Ahim. What was the first thing that we see about Moshe Rabbeinu when he was an individual? Now I'm talking about birth. Vayetze, in the bracket 34, Vayetze, El Echav. He went out to his brothers. Latzeit me'atzmo v'likaneis l'matzav shel acherim. You want to know what it means to bring redemption. You want to know what it means, Avas Chinam. You want to know what this means. Vayetze el achav. Go out of yourself. Enter into the needs of others. And one of the most biggest challenges, we spoke about this recently, that we have in this galus, is this feeling of it all is around me. It's hard for me to feel the pain of others. I only think humash adam do'eg kol hayom la'atzmo. He doesn't feel the needs of others. It's all about what I can get, what's good for me. Shichya adam rak avur atzmo. But as the Chatzim Sofer says, Shavina Shemashma in the bracket in 35, Berov Rachmanuto noten lenu b'chinas hagadlus, Vayigdal Moshe, the beginning of this pasuk is Moshe grew, got big. You know what godless is? Godless, greatness is move outside of yourself. Pasuk in Tehillim 36, Zechor Hashem livnei Edom, Hashem remember the children of Edom. What is Edom? Edom says, Rav Elimelech is the klipa of kamsanos. It's the aspect of only thinking about yourself. It's all about me. It's all about what's in it for me. And you can't move beyond yourself. You know, there's a maisa, it's very famous, of a person who's very poor. And he went to the Rebbe and he says, if you make me rich, I will give so much tzedakah. And he became rich. And he didn't give any tzedakah. So the Rebbe came to visit him. And he came to the guy's house. And he said to him, do you have a mirror? He said, sure. Brings him a mirror, and he says, what do you see? He says, I see myself. He says, takes him to a window. What do you see? I see a lot of people walking on the street. He says, what blocks you from seeing others, they're both a pane of glass, is the money that's behind it. It corrupts you. It blinds you. And he learned the lesson. He started using his money in the right way. What are we corrupted by? What are we blinded by? Why can't I see beyond myself? Why is everything a mirror instead of a pane of glass of a window? In fact, the Chazon Ish at the end of 37 says, She'ikar hastaka, the greatest stucca you can do is to daven for your friend. And here, the he quotes here Rabbi Yerucham in 38, and this is very, very intense. So I'm warning you, forewarned is forearmed. And he says, based on the Baal HaTanya and others, he says, "Shi'itachein hadavar." I want to quote you, Rabbi Yerucham Lovovitz here. It's very possible. Sha'adam nimsa b'dveikut satuma. You can be in such a good place of connection to Hashem, in davening, in a state of thanking Hashem for everything Hashem has given you. Right? You're just so connected, Hashem. Thank you, thank you. Listen to this. Ube'etzem hu rasha merusha. And you are rasha. You're thanking Hashem for the wonderful children you have and the nachas you have. Keep his man to Yeshar Bay Batim Shadayan Lo Nifkadu Bezerisho Kayama. Heimo Beneim Ve'enim Zocher Klal Vakeshalehim. You're so, this is intense. I warned you. You're so involved in thanking Hashem for all the chesed he's done. But you don't even have a minute to think about your neighbor down the street or your neighbor's child down the street who doesn't yet have children. Of course you should thank Hashem for all that He's given you. At the same time, Hashem, can you bench Ploni Almoni that he should also have this nachas? He should also have children. He should also have grandchildren. And this is Be'esha Ta'ati Livnosa. That with fire Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and with fire He will rebuild it. Be'ein shel avas Yisrael, with a fire of love. Beruchnius u'begashmius, liskor kol rega v'rega mitzair chaveiro imibonai mechaye bebrus bebrius haguf. And the double squiggly in 38. Think about other people. Who needs children? Who needs a refuah? Who needs parnasa? Daven for them. Just like you pour out your heart, you want your child to have a shidduch, you want your children to have children, whatever it is, parnasa, daven for other people who are in the same situation. For both sides, this is idea one for the 3 weeks. If we have bitachon, and again, there's much to work on bitachon, but one very small area is moving myself out of the center. Realizing that we're all in this together to serve Hashem. And we all need things. And I'm concerned about other people. I have the sensitivity for others. So he's talking about in the realm of davening, it's in every realm. When you see somebody who's a little bit left out, like the Bar Kamsa story, don't say, well, I have it good, like I'm okay, so they don't have it. What's the big deal? They'll deal. No. It's about stepping outside of ourselves in every area we're able to. And when I step outside myself, make a conscious effort. I am loving the children of Hashem. This is part of my bitachon. I am working on avas chinam. I'm moving away from self. That's what the 3 weeks are about. Ben HaMitzarim, the narrow straits. We almost shrink during this time. Almost imagine that imagery. Shrink. And Kovrot Feh, Yisigua Ben HaMitzarim, all who chase after her will find her in this period of time, which the Nesiva Shalom Sloman Rebbe Zatzal explained, Kol Rodef Ka, all who search after Hashem will find Hashem. How do we search after Hashem? One of the ways is search out to help His children. Be sensitive to His children. David for His children, and you'll find Hashem. So that's a practical working on our midos in terms of the bitachon, which is the root, which leads to sinas chinam, the davening for others, sensitivity to others. There's something we can work on in terms of lashon hara. So lashon hara is major, like, whoa, where do you begin, where you end? I want to focus on something else. 39. Lekha falibuv Rav Avram Shur. And he says, Vishmira Sadibur in the bracket in 39, he bebet kochos. There's two aspects of working on speech. Ludaber mashit srichim, to say what you have to. Vilishtok mimasha ain srichim daber, and be quiet what you don't have to say. Vaide koach hadibur and koach hashtika nasadam shlemos. Knowing when to speak and when to be quiet, you're bishlemos. Like the Arava on Sukkot, which parallels the lips. There are two Aravos. One's Keneged Moshe Rabbeinu, who's a Koach HaDibur, right? Vaydaber Moshe, Moshe's a speaker. And Aaron, Vayidom Aaron, is a silent. And my friends, note in 40 in the arrow, where was the Beis HaMikdash built? It was built in the Chelek of two of the Shvatim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was in Binyamin, and part of it was in Shevet Yehuda. What are the qualities of these two Shvatim? Yehuda from Leah Imenu is the Koach of what? The Koach of Dibur. The Pelech Hodaya, Yehuda, is the one who speaks, who praises Hashem. And the Koach of Binyamin from Rachel is Pelech Hashtika. His stone, Yeshped, there is a mouth and he's silent. The Beis HaMikdash is built on these two foundations, on the foundation of speech and the foundation of knowing when to be silent. And particularly on the Shabbos, he says in 41, the 3 weeks of the Ben HaMitzarim, the Dover Dover, know when to speak words of Kedusha, otherwise they say you could barely even say hello on Shabbos. No, the Shabbos is the time to be more silent, to be able to hold more. And indeed, in 45, step by step on Shtika, he points out, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Nafshi Yatza B'Dabro, my soul departed at his decree, the Baal Shem Tov translated B'Dabro, when one is engaged in speech, a little part of one's soul is leaving. My soul leaves me when I speak. Every time we speak, we're depleting our bank account of words. This does not include, like just like money for Shabbos and Tavat Torah, this does not include Torah, Tefillah, and all of these things. I was so relieved when I read that part, like that little, you know, small print. Well, like, you know, I'm just going to throw in the towel. No, it doesn't have to do with teaching Torah. There is a power to speech, and there's a power to silence. And we have to recognize that during the 3 weeks, it's not just about Lashon Hara, it's about knowing how to be silent. It's knowing how to be quiet. Let me share with you a story, and then we'll end with a piece from Rav Pink. It's a story I just read in Ami magazine. I usually don't read Ami. I got it for another essay, and I read this beautiful story that I'll share with you very briefly, and then we'll end with one final idea. Where, to make a long story short, an amazing 7th grade teacher saw that a girl was really crying out for help. And she went to the mother and over and over again was saying that this girl needs more than you're giving her. And she came up with a program that would partner her with mentors. And she presented to the mother and she followed through with the mother. And the mother was just not home and not interested. And this child really struggled. And a number of years later, this teacher's sister opened up like a home for kids that are like struggling, and this woman, obviously a very talented teacher, B'chasdei Hashem, was a mentor. And sure enough, a few years later, this girl landed in this program. And this teacher, you know, this girl said, you were like my best teacher, and you really, you know, she really invested a lot in this girl, the classroom. And at one point when they were close, the girl said, you know, I have a taina against you. You saw I was struggling in 7th grade. Why didn't you set up a mentoring program like my sister has now? Why didn't you, you know, go for bat with me? And this teacher was about to say, OMG, or so many words, go to bat for you. I called your mother. I went to the principal. I set up this program. And she stopped. because she knew this girl had problems with her mother. And she was quiet, and she says, you know what, you're right. Let me make up for it now. She could have easily gotten off the hook, and rightfully so. You don't always have to say whatever's on your mind. Like I had this, I said I was going to tell you a personal story, where I couldn't find my card. Obviously I found it today and had to pay extra money because you can't find the card in one of these, you know, parking lot zones. Whatever. So my daughter's going back and forth. I think I have the card, I have the wrong card, so I have to pay in it, and it was a mess. And there was a guy behind me, and he didn't honk. He saw that I was a challenged person, and he was calmly waiting. And I was like, wow, what amazing mythos. Not that his honking would have gotten me anywhere, but he was able to hold it. My friends, we know the mitzvah hashtika, says Rav Pinchas Zatzal. He tells about the Admor Mirushin, who had a tish where he would not say a word. They once asked the janitor, what do you see in this tish? He says, I see all these elderly Jews sitting around the table and an old man sitting at the head. He's quiet, and everyone's listening. There's a power to shtika. It's like, he says, when a gadol ador enters into a room, everyone's silent. There's a power to being silent. It's not just not saying something. You're giving over words without saying anything. Sometimes when you don't say something, holding yourself back is, as in the story, preventative measure. And sometimes not saying anything allows the moment just to be held. We know how to talk. That's not the problem. We have to learn how to be silent. We have to learn that shtika hi ashira gdola biyoter, that silence is one of the greatest songs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, my friends, brings us to our final point in 43. The Medrash in Eicha Rabbah. The Churban is happening. The Avos HaKadoshim go and they daven for their people and Hashem isn't responding. Moshe Rabbeinu and Maizchot, Hashem isn't responding. The Akei, the Mamad Har Sinai, Hashem is responding. Kafsa Rachel Imenu, Rachel Imenu, and says, you know, I was supposed to marry and I didn't, and I gave over the Simanim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in your schus, right, Kol Berama Nishma, Nehi Bechi Tamarim, Rachel Mevakal Banah. And Hashem responds, don't worry, v'shavu banim l'gvulam, the people will return, v'yesh tikvah l'achmitech, there is a reward for your end. What was it that Rachel Imenu said? The answer is nothing. It was a schus, it was the merit of her shtika, of her silence. That was the schus that Klai Yisrael are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. When we're talking about the koach halashon, what we can work on, it's sometimes hard to work on lashon hara, there's so many halachot, and can I, am I allowed to? One thing we can work on during the 3 weeks, if we're not sure about saying something, don't say it. If just shtika, just being quiet, just holding what you have, that is the greatest chus. That was the chus to bring Klai Yisrael back. V'yesh tikvah l'achmitech is the midah of shtika. No one would get into a car without brakes. No one should go among people without having the brakes, without having the ability not to speak. My friends, in this chus of being sensitive to others, davening for others, being careful to the needs of others, and the ability to hold ourselves back, we are trying to undo those roots that lead to Tzinus Chinam, and in that chus, we shall be zocha to have binyan bayis hashlishi b'mei Rabbi Yameinu. Again, hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chasta, we have come to another year. I've stopped counting, I think it's year 15 that we've been learning together. Hodu l'Hashem, we've been week after week, it's on my end, siyata d'shemaya, pure siyata d'shemaya, pure miracles. We thank naled.com, yutorah.org for hosting these shirim on their sites. We thank the different individuals, particularly this year with COVID, for disseminating it, whether it's Javi Miller in Brooklyn, Golda Fried in Queens, Selma Selmore in Detroit, the Atlanta Kollel in Atlanta. All the individuals who've listened, this is where the Siyata Deshmayim comes from all the listeners, and Achronach, Aviva, every year, the biggest Yasher Koach goes to Chani Stein for every week after week. writing up the summary. Sometimes I think it's harder to write the summary than to give the shiur to understand what I even said or try to say. So mamish agreser yashikoach to her for the summary that's sent out each week, so faithfully, so beautifully written. And Amir Tzashem, we are going to take a break till Parshat Shoftim, and we should just have Yeshuos, Nechamos, Mesoros, Tovos, and of all good things, in Binyan Beis HaMikdash.